Attention, listeners of this podcast that you're listening to right now, 100 Games and a Funeral, we'll be doing a giveaway, a big giveaway. Today's the day I'm going to tell you what it is. In 4 more games from now, so 4 more episodes from now, whatever that is, we're going to give away a Game Boy, a restored original Game Boy with a better screen. And we're doing this because we hate Pokemon so much. That's why you're getting the giveaway. We both felt bad individually and collectively that we hate the game so much and we didn't treat it very well. And in 4 more episodes, we have to talk about it again because it's Pokemon Red and Blue and we have to discuss it.
We can't escape.
For penance, and because we love games and gamers and we shouldn't exclude, we are giving away a restored Game Boy with a copy of Pokemon Red. I don't know if it's a reproduction or an original, but I've tested it and it does work. So you can essentially get a free Game Boy and copy of Pokemon Red. How's that sound?
That sounds amazing, honestly.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to give it away, actually. I just want to keep it.
I can delete this right now. We can stop this recording.
No, it's good. It's for the people, and it's the penance. It's the price we must pay for poo-pooing a game that lots of people love. It's only fair, because we love you.
Yeah.
So stay tuned each week. I'll keep hyping it up, giveaway, tell people you know to listen to these episodes, to listen to other episodes. Definitely listen to that episode, because I think what I'd like to do is provide a secret phrase, like the old Pee Wee Herman show.
Ooh, nice.
And when you hear the phrase, we'll have a way that you can communicate the phrase to us. That will enter you for the giveaway.
This offer only valid to listeners. I'm going to give them
family members, you can join. Friends, join. We're not going to rig it at all, but you're our only listener, so you have to be able to join.
Yeah, I was going to say, the 2 people that somehow listen to this one.
Right.
Yeah.
Those should enter as well. Feel free to join. Get a Game Boy with Pokemon Red. Relive your favorite game that you love so much. And because we love you, that's why we do it.
Nice.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to 100 Games and a Funeral.
That's the name of our podcast, and on this podcast we talk about games. But not funerals?
Yeah, we could talk about death.
That's not. We'll skip that part.
Did you think, you ever think how, how do I want to say this? Here's the thing. We were a little low energy last week, but this week we're coming out hard. We're coming out swinging, and you're gonna catch on to our infectious energy.
It's already happening. Can you feel it? The buzz.
Feel yourself getting excited.
It's electric.
Oh,
that's about all I had energy wise.
Yeah, I'm actually that drained me. Drained.
How do they do it? These high energy podcasts.
Cocaine.
Ah.
Should we get some illegal drugs?
We shouldn't tell anyone if we do.
Just be very high energy.
I'll never tell. Another week, another game, and we're back. And we did other stuff before we played games or watched other people play games, in my case. What'd you get into this week?
I started watching Arrested Development again because the same remains true. I can't find anything out currently that's appealing to me. All the shows that I do like are currently, in production. So there's nothing to watch for me at the moment. And then I played a little Overwatch as I have been wont to do recently.
Just when you thought you were out.
I played a game called The Red Lantern. It is, you play as a lady and you are trying to make a sled dog team. Hmm. And Yeah, that's really about it. It's kind of like a choose your own adventure type thing as you go through the Alaskan wilderness.
Is that a DLC of Overwatch?
No. No.
Just a hard pivot.
Yeah.
But that's been fun.
Yeah, that's all right.
Choosing your own adventure.
Yeah, and I just downloaded Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed.
Destroy? I never played that.
I played it way back in the day, so I'm excited to give this one a shot.
That's cool. It's not on our list. That's just a freewheeling game of choice.
Yeah, just playing games that I want to play. What about you? Are you perfect in your March Madness bracket?
Far from it. I started and I named my my bracket Steve's 100% correct picks. And I've been editing my name after each set of rounds down to what the percentage is.
The percentile. Last I checked,
I'm down to like 76% correct.
Still not terrible.
Yeah, so I whiffed on BYU, but like all my family, I'm sure picked BYU because so many of them attended BYU. So I felt like I was going to lose points if I didn't pick BYU and then BYU won. So I was really just playing the odds there with the family brackets.
Nice.
But I did get Yale. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
Is it equally as difficult? Probably not. I want to see the person that picked literally everything wrong. Because that also would be somewhat difficult.
That would be, yeah, well.
Just immediately lose, right? It's not as difficult as being 100% right because there's more brackets to choose. But
I think it'd be easier to get a higher percentage incorrect, but you certainly couldn't pick them all wrong. Because it's just those upsets. You never know.
I might start trying that. I'm never going to get all of them right, but I might start trying to get all of them wrong. Like just lose entirely in the first round.
Right. Then you'd be mad when the number one loses in the first round. You're like, dang it. I picked them to lose.
I'm the only person not excited about the upset.
Kentucky, you had one job.
I'm in the stadium like, ah, come on.
They're like, yeah, you picked them too. No, I didn't. Now I'm correct. Everyone would be so confused. That just broke my brain a little bit to try and work through how that was supposed to sound correct.
I'm so correct.
Why are you mad? Yeah, my brackets they're okay. We do it every year with like all of our family members, like little kids included. And it's just such a crapshoot, you know? There's like 9-year-olds doing better than me, so it's just embarrassing.
That is embarrassing. Get yourself together.
What are you supposed to do, though? You know, you can't control this college basketball. It's a untamable beast.
Yeah. And no one actually watches college basketball like it's the NBA or something. There's too many teams for you to have any clue what's going on.
Ton of games. I mean, some people are fanatic about their own team or school, but maybe they're even their conference, but you can't follow all of college basketball.
There really are thousands of teams.
Yeah, every year there's schools I've never heard of in the tournament. But yeah, that's continuing all weekend, unless you're listening to this way later.
In which case, how'd your bracket go?
Terrible. Got last place. My 1-year-old nephew beat me in the brackets. So,
just by putting Cheerios on
the... That happened. That's all he did. He just smacked his mom's phone until he had all his picks selected, and then he beat me. Shout out Douglas.
I am a big fan of watching like 1-year-olds smack things. They love to open palm hit. It's so funny. They get like some food. They smack the food. They see a pet, like an animal. They hit the animal on the head.
The lack of fine motor skills. That's just the motion they can do. They can't go any slower than that.
Yeah, I think they want to like touch the cat, but instead they just whack him on the head.
Their arm just snaps. They have no other choice. I don't think I really watched anything. I surprisingly have been busy at work, which is really crushing my ability to watch things.
Boo.
But a little bit of basketball. I started to watch Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves because I've never seen that movie.
You know? Oh,
yeah.
But you didn't finish.
And it was good. I just, you know, I don't have time. And I feel slightly embarrassed that I keep saying I started watching this and I never finished it. But that's how things go right now.
Well, and I guess I can open up to that now. I didn't watch it this week, but 2 weeks ago I watched The Naked Gun 2.5, The Smell of Fear.
Yeah.
Which, those are very fun.
Yeah, Naked Gun movies.
I love Leslie Nelson. He's such a good actor. The way he does what he does is, a lot of people have tried to replicate it since then, but mm-hmm. I don't know what it was about. I think maybe it's because he was trained in like that 30s and 40s, 50s acting style, and he mm-hmm. maintained that all the way through, but then it's absurdist.
Yeah.
And everyone else just comes at it from like a modern acting style and then goes absurdist. So it just feels like they're going waka waka the whole time. Yeah. But with him, it was just, oh, he's playing this fully straight. He's just dumb. And that was always really nice.
Maybe that's the secret. Did you watch Angie Tribeca?
Yeah, that's actually kind of one I'm talking about. It's good. Gotcha. I don't hate it. It's just, it feels like, which is weird to say, because the Naked Gun is obviously winking at the audience, but Angie Tribeca mm-hmm. feels like it's winking at the audience while holding up a picture of the Naked Gun. And kind of going like, yeah, see, you know, look at this. See, we're doing this.
They're winking with both eyes to make sure it's obvious. They're blinking at you. Yeah, I get that. Both of those movies, is that, I think that movie's from 1991 as well. I think it was on the list. I'd have to double check.
It's that list you sent me. That's what I was thinking. But why would we be looking at a list from 1991?
It's a great year for lots of things. Among those things, it's the same year our video game came out that we played this week, Civilization 1. Nice. How about that music?
I'm just going to put in the sound of me playing it.
On a recorder. Get your recorder out.
Yeah. Ooh, I still have not learned how to toot on that thing.
It takes time. Keep practicing. We're jumping into the game. We're here. We're at the game. But before we jump all the way in, let's get some 1991 facts and take us back to 91. What year were you born?
92.
92. We're almost there.
Oh, boy.
That's going to be my number one year fact when we get a 1992 game. The top box office for 1991 included movies, I was gonna say like, but these are just the movies, they're not like anything else. It's these movies. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, whew. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Home Alone, The Silence of the Lambs, City Slickers. Top five. Those are the top five box office of 1991.
Man,
I've seen all of those except for Robin Hood.
Every time you hit me with a list, mm-hmm. I just makes me, I don't know why we stopped making just constant banger movies.
Somehow we lost it. Who knows what happened? The top music, let me just pick five of these. I had 10, but Bryan Adams, Everything I Do It For You, from the movie Robin Hood, yep. Topped the 91 charts.
Very funny.
Yeah. Michael Jackson's Black or White.
Nice.
Was number two. REM, Losing My Religion. Extreme, More Than Words. CNC Music Factory, Everybody Dance Now.
Why did I think that song was older than 91?
91? Yeah. I don't know. That was like the pinnacle of Swedish dance techno, whatever that is. I don't know what the genre is.
Sweatco.
Yeah. And The Simpsons, Do the Bartman, also hit the charts.
Huh.
Do you know that song?
I never heard it. Well, I know the song, but I didn't know that it hit the charts.
Oh, yeah. People loved anything Simpsons at the time. Even awful music that came out of The Simpsons. So that was top movies, top music. Also music related, Nirvana released Nevermind in 1991.
What a year. Which,
What? Oh, what a year. I thought you asked me what year. And I was like, I just said it.
Are you serious? I just said a little Zoolander action on the pond.
1991 continues. Ric Flair wins the NWA WCW wrestling title.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah. You give a Ric Flair woo?
Woo.
Yeah, I can't do it right now. It's early in the morning for me. My voice is not wooable right now.
Yeah, I've been clearing my throat a lot. I think I would hit a bad woo.
Yeah, like a real voice crackling puberty woo. Super Bowl 25. Do you want to guess the teams involved in Super Bowl 25, 1991?
Was that a Bills Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
They lost because they lost four Super Bowls in a row in the 90s. I don't know who they played. Was it a New York team? Was it the Giants?
Holy cow. Undefeated in NFL trivia. Back-to-back weeks.
That took a second, but I got there.
You got there. Apparently, Howard Stern made a bet with a Giants player that he would kiss his butt if the Giants won. And then they won. He did.
Oof.
A man of his word.
Hey, you know what?
Nothing else. that's the Super Bowl where Whitney Houston crushed the national anthem.
Whoa, okay.
I don't know if you've seen that video.
Of course, yes.
I watched it last night. Chills.
It is crazy. Everyone since then has been trying to mimic it, and it's like, you can't stop it.
Never been touched. February, the U.S. Female Figure Skating Championship won by Tonya Harding.
Oh.
Best known for having the knees smashed of the other one. Dang it, what's her name?
Why?
Yeah.
Tonya
Harding and the other one.
Start with an M?
It could.
All of my brain's just full of NFL facts. I'm not able to
That's fine.
Help you with anything else.
Brent, help us, Brent.
Should we bring Brent in sort of like they bring in the refs in games? Like, well, we don't know if that's correct, Carl. You want to go and hop in here?
Tonya Harding and I want to say Nicole, Nancy but Kerrigan. It's not Nicole. That's it. Nancy Kerrigan. I got the N right. the TV show Dallas ended in May. Who shot JR? In June, the Bulls beat the Lakers in game 5 for the first of 3 straight titles. So that was the beginning of Michael Jordan's reign. Also in June, NBC announced Jay Leno would replace Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show.
Oh.
Wild stuff. That's my Johnny Carson.
That's pretty good.
Dana Carvey. In September, the Jerry Springer Show premieres. Everyone's favorite after-school show, the Jerry Springer Show. In November, Michael Jackson's Black or White music video premieres, debuting incredible morphing effects. Do you remember the video?
I've never seen it, no.
Oh, man, you're in for a treat. You have to wait to the end, because that's when it happens. But really advanced computer-generated morphing faces. Very memorable. Take a look at that. November 7th, Magic Johnson announces he has HIV and retires from the Lakers. He's still alive.
Kanye said it best.
Yep, he did. The average cost of a new house in 1991, of a new house, $120,000. But your average income is $29,000. Average monthly rent, $495. Average gallon of gas, $1.12. Simpler times.
Simpler times.
Other video games from 1991. So here's what Civilization, to bring it back now. Now we're going back. The games that Civilization was competing with were The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past on Super Nintendo. Street Fighter II. Which I think this is referring to like the home versions, because I think it may have been out before then in arcade. Sonic the Hedgehog, Super Castlevania 4. All of these games are on our list so far. The Simpsons 4-player arcade game came out in 91.
We've played that.
We have. Lemmings. You know Lemmings?
I do. I don't know if I've ever played it, though.
Oh, it's a fun little game. An arcade game called Sunset Riders. I included that because I love that game and no one knows that game.
Is that the racer game?
No, it's a 4-player side-scrolling shooting cowboy game with like fun cartoon graphics and characters and bosses. I love it.
That sounds pretty
cool. I wish someone else knew it. We should play that game.
Yeah.
The Secret of Monkey Island 2, Chip's Challenge, and Q-Basic Gorillas.
Okay.
You know what Q-Basic Gorillas is?
I don't.
Q-Basic, I think, was a programming language. And someone made a game where, and it's basically Worms. You know the game Worms?
Yeah.
So it spawns a screen with random buildings on the screen. And on the left or the right, you have a gorilla on either side. And then you input like an angle and a strength. And then one gorilla throws a banana to the other side. And you try to bomb the other gorilla with a banana. Okay.
That sounds pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
I saw that on the list and was like, oh, I remember that game. I played that a lot. One game I was not playing was Sid Meier's Civilization.
Here we are, 20 minutes.
Here we are. A turn-based strategy 4X video game developed and published by MicroProse. Do you remember the most recent game we just played by MicroProse?
Was it not Civilization 4?
Nope.
Was it? No, I'm not going to get it.
It's XCOM, UFO Defense.
Oh, dang it.
It's okay. So we just played that, but they made Civ 1 and 2 and Pirates and the other Civs. Actually, they were bought out later, so not the other Civs. But they were there at the beginning. Civilization from Sid Meier and the other guy he worked with. I gotta tell you, researching this game, actually everything about this game made me sleepy. Just like I listened to our last episode and you yawned at the end as we were talking about what our next game was going to be.
It's crazy. It was a real response going on and looking at Civilization stuff. I yawned.
Yeah. Prophetic, if you will. I'm trying to get through my fun facts. Do you know what 4X stands for? I can't remember.
Exploration. Extend. Exploration.
Yep, the 4Xs of video games. Exterminate maybe one of them, because
that seems right. Yeah.
Killing's part one. The 3X video game. Civilization. The original manual for the game is 126 pages long. And I flipped through it on archive.org. Pages 6 through 120 cover how to play the game.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, the other 12 pages is like table of contents and index at the end. But it's 114 pages of how to play this game. Just, you know, if you haven't played it and that sounds intimidating, don't play it.
Yeah, it won't hurt you.
The game can't hurt you. They originally developed it for MS-DOS running on a PC. Do you want to hear these PC specs that you must have had to run this game?
Yes.
You've seen the game running, right?
Yes. In browser.
What are the specs you think of a computer would need to run this game?
Probably like a megabyte of RAM.
640 kilobytes RAM required.
Nice.
It came on 4 3.5-inch DD floppy disks, which are double density. So those are dense disks. 720 kilobytes was the storage space on those disks. And the install size was 2.7 megabytes.
That's probably pretty big for back then.
Probably. They don't make them like that anymore. I think it wasn't uncommon to have multiple disks for a game.
Yeah.
When it was time to install. I mean, the discs had all of 720 kilobytes of storage on them.
I mean, I stumbled upon some of my old games from like 2005 and I had multiple discs.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't. I mean, what other option did you have, really?
Yeah.
Nah. By the release of Civilization 2 in 1996, we're moving on to sales numbers now. Do you want to guess how many sales of Civilization 1 there were by 96, so 5 years later?
I did such a good job last week.
You did.
And I think I'm in for another failure. I'm going to say 5.2.
Million?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to tell with some of these. Because, like, if we're talking Mario numbers, yeah, but how big was this game? I don't know.
I don't know how to frame it. I had another fun fact that MicroProse did very little to market this game because, like, the guy running MicroProse disliked the idea of strategy games. They were making more like flight simulators early on. And they're like, this is never going to work. And so they didn't promote it at all. But 5 years in, you know, it did garner a following and it sold over 850,000 copies.
Ah, okay.
I mean, 5 million is over 850,000 copies.
No, not this week. Not this week.
Okay. By 2001, so 10 years later, it reached 1 million copies. And by 2016, it was stated that it sold 1.5 million copies. So a little bit lower.
A little bit.
But, I mean, a game with that big of a manual and that is this boring to play, that's pretty good.
I like how the CEO was like, no, this game's boring, dude. What about flying?
What if we could fly instead? Excuse me. Avalon Hill purchased the rights to a board game called Civilization in 1981. So just to explain how boring this game is, it was originally a board game. And there were two other attempts at turning this board game into a video game, but neither were brought to completion. Sid Meier said they did draw some inspiration from the board game, but it's not like, how do we turn this board game into a video game?
Yeah.
So loosely inspired by. Meier described his development process as sculpting with clay.
Huh.
If you can believe that.
I'm trying to exactly figure out what he means. Like there was nothing there before. It was just the raw bones of an idea and he shaped it into being. He created a successful franchise.
Maybe that's it. There was a little more written about it. I was just struck by that. What do you mean you're sculpting with clay? I compare reading about this to watching someone sculpt with clay.
Yeah, that's how fun
that was. In a quote from Computer Gaming World reported in 1994 that Sid Meier has stated on numerous occasions that he emphasizes the fun parts of a simulation and throws out the rest.
I would hate to see the rest.
So you're getting all the fun parts in 1991 Civilization. Oh, by the time the game was completed and ready for release, Meier estimated that it had cost this much money in development. Do you want to guess the development cost?
$300,000.
$170,000.
Wow. Okay. That's not bad at all.
Yeah. Pretty cheap. I mean, it's, I know it was a different time, but it seems like if you gave someone 10 bucks, they could make what this game looks like. I guess all the systems and all the tinkering would take more time.
Yeah, there's a lot of systems.
Because of the, this part I shared, the animosity, it even said animosity that MicroProse's management had towards Meier's games, there was very little promotion of the title. But, you know, people liked it. They bought it. In 95, CivNet was developed, and that allowed up to 7 people to play a game of Civilization together over the internet.
That's pretty cool.
Early internet play, yeah.
Yeah.
In 96, Computer Gaming World listed it as the best game of all time.
In 1996?
In 96.
I mean, I guess that's their call.
Yeah, it's only computer games because it was Computer Gaming World. In 2000, GameSpot rated Civilization as the 10th most influential video game of all time.
I'll agree with that.
That we can share. It was also ranked at 4th place on IGN's 2000 list of the top PC games of all time. 4th place. I should have looked that list up and seen what the 5th and 6th, what was worse? What was worse than Civilization? Last one, in 2004, readers of Retro Gamer voted it as the 29th top retro game.
Okay.
Reminder that Retro Gamer is our inspiration for our list that we're playing from.
Thank you, Retro Gamer. So,
Yeah, 20 years ago, it was 29th top retro game. Now, 100 games of all time, it's number 62. Interesting. Numbers. So the top retro game, number 29 from Retro Gamer. I found a good review and a bad review, but these came from Google. So people reviewed this much later.
Okay.
Well, Norman Pierce 2 years ago said, "I love this game! Exclamation point. Played it for hours and hours. The graphics are much simpler than those of today, but it doesn't really reduce the joy of playing."
Aw, I'm happy for Norman.
Way to go, Norman. Bad review. I forgot to get the name. It wasn't a person's name. It was something weird. "Probably one of the worst games in the franchise. Unit combat feels more like a coin flip. There is no incentive to expand because you will lose population, and the ideology is poorly implemented. Not bad for a first game, but I wouldn't play again."
You know, he might have a point.
Yeah. Well, everyone's got their opinions.
Yep.
And some we agree with and some we don't. In 2022, we're right. Yes, we are correct. 2022, the Strong National Museum of Play, which I'm not familiar with, but apparently they offer a World Video Game Hall of Fame.
Huh.
And in 2022, they inducted Sid Meier's Civilization into it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had no clue that existed.
Me neither. I'd be interested. I'm sure they're kind of hitting the early on games, it looks like. But I'd be interested to see what else is in there so far. And that's about all my notes for this game.
You know, we've razzed on it. I'd like to send out apologies to Brent for razzing on this game. And we've not even
Does
really
Brent like Civilization 1?
He does. I think he just likes Civilizations. And we've razzed, we let it have it, and we maybe even said it wasn't a good game, but for its time, I'm sure it was good. And
would you rather play Civilization or Star Wars Arcade, which repeats the same three levels for an hour? You had to play one game for an hour.
Just an hour?
Just an hour.
Star Wars.
Okay. And I'll remind you that this Civilization has all the fun parts in it. All the boring parts were left out.
Well, so I spent about 2 hours playing and about 3 hours watching a how to play.
Okay, so you really dove in.
So I started with just kind of having on in the background. But I started with this website where you can play a lot of old games, which is pretty dope. It has it all in like DOSBox.
Yeah.
So I go there. And, you know, you go through the intro screen, and I knew I wanted
the intro is good. Yeah, I like the intro.
It's a good intro. And I wanted to play with Earth because as I live here.
That's what you're familiar with.
And then I clicked the easiest setting, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Let's just try out the game.
And I did like 4 civilizations, I think, because I don't want to deal with the maximum amount of civilizations on the playing at the same time, that gets a little stressful. And I picked American. So at this point, I'm kind of like, oh, okay. I fiddled around enough with 4 and looked at the other ones to know what's going on. Some of the systems haven't really changed that much since this day. Obviously, it gets more advanced. But and then I set my name, which I'm not going to talk about on the podcast.
Okay.
And then I look at the UI and I go... Something that I notice in these older games, and we talk about it, it's obvious to me that the average person that was playing games in 1991 was almost definitely more intelligent than the average person playing games in 2024. Because
it seems that way.
If you literally can't give this kind of game to even the most hardcore gamers in the modern age. You have to have some type of introduction to how the game works.
Yeah.
They didn't even think of that. They thought, we'll put it in a book because people read and they're going to sit there. And if you're playing a game called Civilization in 1991, you're probably a genius compared to someone in the modern age.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't inundated with your cell phone at all times and social media. You were just, this is the game I'm playing. This is what I'm going to do. So you read the book. You read 120 pages of how to play this game. And then you're thrown in. Me,
even though I kind of understand Civilization a little bit more, I was really lost because the UI is very both bare bones and there's just stuff hidden everywhere. It's like five clicks to get to the bottom of something. So I went to YouTube at that point and I looked up Civilization 1 guide and I watched a 40 minute video.
Okay.
And I realized at the end of the 40 minute video, it said part one. I went, oh, dang it. So then I proceeded to watch this guy's 5-part video on how to play Civilization 1. He's a British teacher, I think, and talked about how he uses it to teach.
He teaches how to just how to play Civ 1. That's
his job.
Shouts out to that guy. Because I think he may now be the guy I've watched the most. His English sandwich on YouTube. Not a huge content creator, but I want to shout him out.
Absolutely.
So I watched that and got some of it, like retained a little bit of it. And I jumped in. Kind of, I was listening to it a lot of times while I was working.
So he was teaching how to play the game?
Pretty much, like all the systems. It's a 5-parter. Okay. It really is like 3 hours of content. So then when I got home, I kicked the game on and played for a couple hours. And I will say this is the most I learned about how to play the game. And I think there's something to that with these games as far as gaining knowledge and that knowledge expanding the what you're doing. On its surface, it's very basic, right? Sort of like any game, like chess or something. On the surface, there's a couple units or even like checkers and you move this way and then you win the game, right? But once you develop knowledge about it, the systems in place become more and more complex in the way that they can work and intertwine with each other. So that was kind of interesting to go into it with that much knowledge. And I will say, like, I wasn't like, wee, but I was also like, oh, I was definitely not like, wee. But I was
at no point after clicking your mouse, did you say we? Did you exclaim?
No.
0 times.
But I guess I was kind of enjoying the idea of the game, if that makes any sense.
So like things were coming together and you started to see how pieces were fitting?
Yeah, just basic things that I guess I never really locked in on. But like you can like say you build a city, right? And of course, put it near the river, build it near resources. Those pieces are important. And then like in your city, you have a farmer guy and you can change him to like Rick from Rick and Morty science, or you can make him into Elvis or into like the G-Man from Half-Life.
You have different paths you can try to attain for like researching and stuff.
Yeah. And so that was cool. And then understanding, I understood how the soldiers worked, but in this one, I think it was a little less complex. So it was just pretty simple. I need soldiers. I need to fortify my towns. Need to watch out for the barbarians. And I was playing on the easy level. So that wasn't like, I wasn't getting assaulted constantly versus in the tutorial I watched, he got assaulted quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just made cities. I talked to leaders. I declared war on somebody. I can't remember.
Nice.
Who. I made someone give me money when they came up to talk to me because I was growing. I said, give me money.
You just bully people and say,
I said, give me tribute. So, you know, like I said, I only played for like 2 hours, but it was definitely more interesting to go at it with the knowledge. And I think while I'm probably never going to dedicate full time to Civilization games, I do see how if you really give these games the time, and I hear Civ 6 is like one of the best in the series and it's got a lot of complex systems. If you give it the time to understand it and really get a grasp of how everything works, then it becomes a really enjoyable experience of working within the game and commerce and war and diplomacy and trading and development and technology and all these different things. And there's always a different way to approach it. You know, all of these things coming together that I can see why someone might the old just one more turn thing where you stay up all night. I can really, it kind of hit me for the first time playing this. That being said, it's very aged, and this one in particular, I really couldn't see myself coming to, except for this reason, just to see what it's about.
Right.
But I rambled a little bit there, but
no. That's
my gameplay experience of Civ 1.
Okay, that's the whole thing.
Pretty much.
Okay. You played it a lot more than I did. I immediately tried to play in browser and didn't understand what I was doing. And you mentioned this, but this is pre a game having a tutorial built in. So the tutorial is the 114 pages you're supposed to read before you play the game. And I think, yeah, like you said, you're supposed to start there and get an understanding of what you're about to play. I think that was the intention. Of course. I mean, it's the instruction manual. What else are you supposed to do? That's the order of things. You read the instruction manual and then you know what you're supposed to be doing. But I think that's where it falters for me, because as much as I love an instruction manual, a game should kind of make sense as you're playing it. You should be able to turn a video game on and understand what you're supposed to be doing, I think, for any good game. So while I understand its place on the list and its importance for the genre and neighboring genres, like, I always think of more of the, like, what is Command & Conquer or StarCraft? Those are
RTSs, real-time strategy.
I think more of those. And this is related in a way. So I get, like, the push and making systems work. All of that is important. But this game was way too boring for me. I could only even watch someone play it for like 15 minutes. And they liked playing the game.
It's interesting.
I'm honestly, and we've mentioned this about other games, but I can't invest enough time into like understanding what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just a dumb person.
Yeah, I think if there's not an appeal to management, I think these games appeal to types that are good at managing things, you know?
It's for a strategy brain, and I'm not a big strategy person.
Not very strategic.
Yeah, I'm more of like A Legend of Zelda Link to the Past is out at the same year, and if you put these games next to each other, I'm going to walk to the Super Nintendo and pick up a nice little controller and have the game guide me through its paces. Yeah.
So you're saying if you were, say you were in a civilization and you were given the role of being in charge of the civilization, or just being one of the guys collecting wheat in the field, you're probably going with the wheat in the field?
I'd probably just leave the civilization altogether.
Just flee into the woods?
Yeah, I don't get it, guys. I'm out of here.
Is that all you gotta do? The barbarian horde?
Hey guys, it's cool over here.
We're not doing it. We just take stuff.
You just steal whatever you want. And we're dead.
Chumps.
Yeah. Yeah. I shouldn't be in charge of anything that requires thinking. You know, just keep me away from it.
Well, unless you have more, I think that's Civ 1, honestly.
I don't have anything more about this game. And I'm very sorry if there's ardent fans, even of the series, not just of the game. It's just not my game, but, you know, I hope that you enjoy playing it. And if you like this game, it might be worth a revisit to Civ 1, or if you've never played Civ 1, like you said, a lot of systems are similar in sequels, so you'll probably recognize some stuff, and it might be fun just to go back and see where it all started. I like the music of this era of PC gaming.
Yeah, it's great.
The synthy fake piano sounds and horn sounds, and it's very fun.
Well, I swear I gave it my best try again.
I believe
I told myself I wouldn't be a negative Nancy right off the rip.
Yeah, I'd leave that to me on this game.
Speaking of games.
Yeah, we have.
Speaking of other games.
Oh.
What's next week?
Next week, we're going to play a game for dumb people where they teach you how to play it when you fire it up. It's called Portal.
Oh boy.
Let's get back to a real newer era of gaming.
Tough couple weeks for us idiots, but now
yeah, back to Portal. I think we both played this before, but I am excited to revisit it and dive in and talk about it.
Yeah, I can't wait. This is one of my all-time favorite surprises in gaming.
We'll have to discuss that as well. Okay, thanks for listening. Tune in another week.
Listener, see you later.
Bye-bye.